Dear podcast listeners, after nearly 2 years of A Drink with European Media Creatives, it is time for the first season to come to an end. But what will stay? What do we learn from all these engaging interviews? What is our bottom line? We collected all our guests' answers to the closer question, where do you see the media industry in 5 to 10 years? Have fun with the various answers, our amazing guests. Let's begin with my most recent guest, the creativity coach, author and speaker, Richard Holman.
Honest answer is, I haven't got a clue.
Okay.
I could speculate about sort of streaming platforms and atomization and all this stuff. I think things are tough and it looks like things will get tougher for a little while. But the media, television in particular, I think has a role to play in making things a bit less tough, you know, in both in making sure that we have the right information and insight we need to navigate the challenges that lie ahead, but also that we share the right kind of stories, you know. And stories have always been important to human beings to help us make sense of the world we find ourselves in. And so I think, you know, the principles won't change. The delivery systems and the tools might change, but fundamentally we're going to need creative people to share stories and probably now more than ever, really, over the next few years. And the more mechanisms we have for doing this, more, you know, we talk about it like we're doing today, and the more we get together like you do with your conferences, the better it is for everybody, really. And isn't there something kind of cool in not knowing what's around the corner as well?
it is, you're right.
It keeps us on our toes, you know, it keeps us on our toes.
Yeah. But as well as I understand you at the moment, it is some kind of job for us, for creatives, to bring hope to the people more or less.
Yeah, very much so. And I would be lost and very down without, you know, without the books and the films and the music and the art that sustains me every day.
But let's start back at the beginning, when our very first episode, I interviewed artist, creative director Cécile Chaffe-Père. What did she have to say?
Well, everywhere, of course. I hope not all the time, really. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't say screen, you said media. And it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Because for having a media, you have to have someone behind, and someone's behind. And that's for good. So I hope media will remain media. Mm-hmm. Medias will remain media. I really hope so. I hope we won't have empty screens.
Yeah.
And that's what I fear.
Okay.
To be clear. So I hope... We will still have medias and with people that want to link people together, because that's the media has to do, not the screens.
That's absolutely, I'm absolutely on your way. Yeah, it's just the same for me. Yeah, great.
Up next was Krista Mellstrand, the former marketing director of the Swedish national public television broadcaster SVT. Where do you see the media industry in 5 to 10 years? What do you think?
That's a hard question. I can just guess.
Of course.
A lot of things will stay the same, naturally. People, things don't move as fast as we think sometimes. Some things will have really changed. It's hard. It's really hard. I should pass on that one. I think, yeah, I can put it this way. One thing that I think will stay really important, that people will value their time more and more. That, I think that's something that we shouldn't waste people's time with bad communication.
Mm-hmm.
Time is our most valuable currency. So think about time and respect people's time. That's what I say now, just as a reminder for the future. Don't waste people's time.
Where did Isabel Marcelis, the head of branding and communications at Streams, the Flemish streaming service, see the media industry in 5 to 10 years?
I think that's a very long stretch of time for the media industry. A lot happens quickly, but I think what's interesting right now is that a lot of different streaming initiatives start popping up everywhere. So a lot of studios want to go direct to consumer themselves. And I think it's a phase, and then we'll go back to an aggregation phase in a few years' time. So it will really be exciting to see what does that mean for the international entertainment scene, for the investments that go there, what players will survive. So yeah, it will be an exciting 5 to 10 years, I believe.
Nicolau Tudela is art director at RTP, Radio Televisão de Portugal, a Portuguese public broadcaster. Among several graphic and audiovisual works, he is the author of the idea and image for the Eurovision Song Contest in 2018. Here is what he had to say.
My personal point of view, I think there are going to be big changes, and probably there's a moment they want to have the coming back from the nostalgic, and I've wrote that. You know, it's like bring a bit of nostalgia and emotion, and the future is to pick up again emotions.
Yeah.
The sense of coming back from the good old times.
That sounds great.
It's my point of view, really. I think it's my point. Media industry must think that, listen, to talking about dishes and talk about dinners is very important. The big decisions, it's in a table, in a good dinner, in a good sharing, you know, a good dish.
Mm-hmm.
So the future is to pick up again those things. It's the emotion, and to pick up the things that they are really important, and probably sometimes we forget.
Yeah.
The technology, blah, 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 and the very, very fast, you know, last upgrading, so last to be updated all the time, you know. We must settle down a bit. And COVID was a big, they teach us in a way that sometimes we need to settle down a bit. So answering is that it's coming back a bit from the good old times.
K-Proc is not only a very successful design studio in Amsterdam, but also the creator of the Eyes and Ears event design for the past 3 years. I talked to their creative director and founder, Dan Smith. Here comes his answer.
Oh my God, yeah. So I have no idea, really. Where do I see the media industry in 5 years? In 10 years, that's too long. In 5 years, it's so hard to tell, because I think there will be an even bigger separation between people who still watch something on TV and new generations, basically. I think what would be interesting is to see the importance of news and how they keep their relevance by claiming, I guess, truthfulness. So if I look at my children, they're all between 15 and 21. They are kind of used to things being fake, but at the same time, they have no idea what's real. They see a lot of content online, YouTube, but how do you decide what's real information and what's fake information? I think our generations have grown up by trusting kind of news programs.
Yeah.
And yes, we know they're biased, and they have a little bit of a political view, and you know, they only show what the camera shows and not the whole world. But at least we have the idea that it's being made with a desire for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my children don't have that concept. There's everything, a lot of what they see is just, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, everything is created or fake or...
So we need a better kind of education?
Yeah. So how can news keep its relevance in that sense? Because if they switch on the TV, they just see old people talking to a camera.
Yeah.
And they think, oh yeah, but I saw it already online yesterday.
Yeah, and that's nothing interesting to them, of course, yeah. So we need in school already, or in kindergarten already, some kind of political interview, or
yeah,
that their teacher teaches the young how to differentiate between...
Yeah, possibly. Again, also, you know, if AI can create fake news, then I guess artificial intelligence can also help to label something as real.
Yeah.
To do the reverse. But it's how television or radio also created a kind of a context, a broader context for you. And that's, if you just watch a 5 or 30 second clip online, you don't have context. So everything is very cut up. And I think the divide will get bigger.
Yeah, so we need to be more political in the media,
yeah,
to fight for our media, for the truthfulness of our media.
Yeah, and also learn to adapt the speed and the curves of storytelling that you see being used online, and break with kind of the set ways of storytelling. And then especially for the public channels that are less reliant on commercial money.
Yeah, I hope that they can fight the fight and that they will stay as public channels.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next guest was my dear colleague Barbara Simon. The creative director for Munich has been the vice president of Eyes and Ears of Europe for so many years. Where did she see the media industry in 5 to 10 years?
Well, the trend is obvious. I think streaming services are growing rapidly because people want choices and they want to see it where and when they want to. So linear TV is still relevant, most particularly for the advertising industry. Mm-hmm. And it even sometimes still proves how powerful it can be with special events, Joko and Klaus, for example. Mm-hmm. But they are also jumping on the streaming bandwagon and have long realized that they need to look for other means of income beyond commercials and commercial breaks. Advertisers will have to find other ways of reaching their audience, since streaming services can live off of subscription fees and they don't want to irritate their viewers with ads. So we've seen the rise of social media and influencers as a new good means of reaching younger audiences. I think this will continue to grow. To be competitive, you need to be mobile and social friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Technology will play a big role, for one, with smart TVs, meaning the internet and television are literally melting into an all-in-one device. People are increasingly consuming on their devices and consuming on the go. VR and AR, as mentioned earlier too, will influence how we watch, creating new interfaces and new possibilities through glasses, headsets, and experiences.
Do you think there will be some holograms as well? Will that be a possibility?
Yeah, I think there. You know, the interfaces are going to be a big deal more and more, and also just AR experiences, you know, bringing it into your environment is going to be normal. It hasn't developed as quickly as I expected, but I think, you know, this will make a big difference in how we consume media.
Yeah.
Personalization is a big topic that will be refined with time. AI, artificial intelligence, and algorithms create more personalized media experiences, you know, like we're all familiar with already. How you get confronted with recommendations of things you may like, stay engaged on a certain platform, you know, be it Amazon, including Prime, or YouTube or Facebook. So I believe technology is totally dictating where things are heading. It's up to us to make the most of it and to recognize the possibilities it offers.
Yes, the possibilities and the dangers as well, both of it, just to, not to live just in one cloud, but what to be informed and to be creative.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of our season, in the 7th episode, I talked to Emmanuel Lacasse, the president of Parisian creative agency Gédéon. Here's what she had to say.
Where do you see our media industry in 5 to 10 years? What do you think will change? Where are we then?
Unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball. I would like to have one.
Such a pity.
No. You know what? I feel that the digital revolution will not be so revolutionary. Let's see, but it will be, of course, very, it is a big evolution, but I'm not sure that at the end it will be so revolutionary. I think things are going to be, how can I say, maybe a balance and each, for example, I remember 18 years ago when I started to work in TV with media, everybody, it was the first websites and we had the first mobile phones and everybody said, TV is dead, TV is dead. And we are quite 20 years after, and TV is not dead, not totally dead. And I think even linear channels will stay interesting, not all of them, and it will be different. And they have, of course, to grow on social media, on digital, but at the end, what people are looking for is some editorial point of view. They have to be bring by brands to, because I think humans are not able to choose by themselves the content they are watching. They need people to help them to know that this content is great or not, or they will love it or not. And so they need some, I don't know how to say in English, but some, we say in French, repère. It's like It's brands that you recognize, and you know that with this brand, you are in the good, in what you like. Mm. And I think it's important. And TV is just brand that you recognize with an editorial line. And so I think that it evolves, but it's not a revolution. We are in the middle of the things, but it seems to be, difficult to explain. I'm sorry. I think I'm not very clear, but
you can manage it. So more or less, it's the storytelling that's really interesting, and the story is an important one for the clients, for the people, and that would stay because story. Well, the beginning of the story was the beginning of mankind, more or less.
Yeah. And you remember in the caverns, there were people like this. Like they were painting on the wall and they were telling stories to the other.
Yeah.
So I think human change and needs stories, good stories, and
So just the way the story comes to the people that changes. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And how to be visible, how to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And that's our work. Mm-hmm. Design is really a question of being recognizable and to say, yes, I'm like this.
Yeah, so we are getting more and more important, right?
Yeah,
all right. Our next guest had just moved from Sweden to California. Brett Richards, the creative officer of the Stockholm-based agency Broken Doll, had another perspective on the topic.
Really hard to say at the moment. I mean, obviously, Mark Zuckerberg believes in the metaverse. I'm not convinced we'll be there in 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
I think that it's too... I haven't seen he probably must know something we don't know. It's like, since they bought Oculus, maybe he knows something about the hardware that's coming that I don't know. But so far, I really love virtual reality. The experiences are amazing. I'm really excited about the experiences we're about to give people in virtual reality, but there's still too much of a barrier putting on those headsets. Mm. So until they solve the clunkiness of that experience, I don't think that's going to be ubiquitous. But I think that it feels like we're at the beginning of a fairly clear trajectory. So if I was going to guess, I would say the next 5 to 10 years are probably going to be an extension of what we're seeing now. I think we've just had a massive media revolution. We've seen this, the revolutionary aspect of the non-linear video on demand services have taken off. Subscription-based services have taken off. Everybody is getting into that game. So we've got Paramount, HBO, Netflix, you know, Disney. I'm sure Warner Brothers and Discovery are getting into that game in a big way. Now they're merging. We're going to see all those major film studios having their own channels for that, which is going to change things. So I suspect we're going to see budgets drop down. I think that there's been a game that everyone's been playing of get eyeballs on your service at any cost. Like it's a growth-based model, right? So it doesn't matter if you're losing money, just get the viewership. But I think that as the number of subscription services increases, budgets will probably stabilize and we'll see less of these really extravagantly expensive TV shows. I think that's going to be for a little bit of a while, like not sure it's going to be sustainable.
Okay.
I think there's probably a maximum dollar value that anyone's prepared to spend on subscriptions per month. And I suspect that number is probably pretty close to the same number we used to spend on cable TV subscriptions with the premium sports package, right? That's a long tested market, and that's what people are prepared to pay for their entertainment. So I think that what you're going to maybe have 3 or 4 subscriptions per household, and then that'll be enough. And then we'll see. And now we're dividing that pie up between all these different players. That probably means the budgets will have to come down. We might guess, but I think that's definitely going to be the future. I think free to TV in 10 years is gone. I don't see it. Like, why? Why would you want to make it? Like, you know, we'll have niche channels for sports and news, you know, in the CNNs and ESPN type situations. I think the traditional broadcasters they're in big trouble. Now we're going to have to move to a different type of model themselves.
And they are doing so.
Which they're already doing. Yeah. And then I think we're going to see a lot more merging between gaming and entertainment. So things like Fortnite doing these massive concerts with, you know, hip hop artists live in the game. That's going to be huge, which is metaverse-like. I mean, that is a metaverse idea. So that level of metaverse will definitely be happening, where we're seeing like virtual in-game events. Like there's still a need and a desire for people to get together at the same place and time and have a shared experience.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think one of the things that we miss from video on demand is you don't have that, oh, did you see last night's episode of Game of Thrones? Which is why it's smart even for a streamer. It's like Disney drops their content on Wednesday, so you have a conversation on Thursday. That builds community. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have these shared moments to get a community, and community is what will make something successful or unsuccessful. That's the lesson from the gaming community. But I think we're going to see those experiences happening in the gaming world in a virtual space, because that's where the kids are.
Yeah.
Like, they're the future, yeah. Right? So they're not watching TV. Like, the great thing about terrestrial television was that you knew that the whole country was sitting down watching the same show at the same time. There was actually a shared experience across the nation, Friday night watching, you know, American Idol, whatever. But that is going to be replaced by the same thing, but in another space with a greater sense of community. Mm. You'll actually be able to virtually turn over and see someone watching it. Like, if you're watching the same TV show as everybody else, you don't know everyone else is watching it. You can't be sure because you're in your lounge room. But if you're in a virtual space watching it, then you see and feel like you're part of a community. I think that's going to be really, really important. And I think we'll continue to see growth in community. You know, I think it will lead to a really interesting globalization where there'll be communities across the world defined by shared interests, mm-hmm. as opposed to just defined by shared geographies. So I think geographical limitations and country limitations are going to get really interesting for media, because we're already seeing a breaking down of that. No one's selling the rights to a TV show anymore based on territories. Nobody wants that. Everyone wants to be able to just release it at once globally. So I think that's going to be, I think we'll be heading that direction.
But there's still some cultural differences. Regional differences. I don't know.
There are regional differences, but I think they'll become less important to kids. I think that the difference will be like, what are you into? Mm-hmm. I think that will be the new, you know, what defines your identity will become less and less about your ethnicity and your location and more about what are you into, you know. When I moved to Sweden, I used to talk a lot about the fact that, like, because, oh, how is it moving from Australia to Sweden? And they say, like, well, I have a lot more in common with a motion graphics designer in Sweden than I do with a bricklayer in Australia.
Yeah.
It's what, well, bricklayers actually, I've got a few friends brickers, but it's like, I also have trained Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and then I have friends in Brazilian jiu-jitsu who I'm super tight with, who are like plumbers. And this is one of the great things about that sport. It's like, I have all these friends now who are police officers, plumbers, ex-convicts, lawyers, you know, builders, artists. But what keeps us together is our interest in jiu-jitsu. So it's not your background, it's not your ethnicity, it's your interest that will define you.
Michael Kondowai, the director and professor for VFX, came next and answered the question like this.
Where do you see the media industry or the film industry in 5 to 10 years? What do you think?
Oh, you know, that is a very, very difficult question to answer, because it might change every day what I'm thinking about the future of 5 to 10 years. On one hand, I would say that it will be way more normal to use artificial created actors and actresses, that the kind of robots or digital humans or the meta humans are part of the cast in the future. Mm. And it is not anymore a kind of a sensation, say, oh, they recreated James Dean. Wow, that is kind of normal. You know, you can recreate James Dean. It's not the problem anymore. So it is normal. And everyone is back relaxing the show. Like with ABBA, you know, ABBA is back alive on stage. No, they are not alive. I mean, they are alive, but not the puppets, the digital puppets on stage. Now it's a sensation. Mm. In 5 to 10 years, absolutely not. Mm. So the focus will be changing, and it is, but still the good story that counts.
Yeah.
Good characters and surprising stories. That is 5 years and 10 years, maybe even more, because everything is possible that we want to see. And hear good stories.
So story will live on forever.
Yes, absolutely.
Where did the story dude Markus Gull see the media industry in 5 to 10 years?
That's a huge question. I think and I hope that the industry is going towards immersive experiences where different media works together for a more interesting, nourishing, inspiring experience of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that the engagement of the audience can be one of the tasks that the industry is taking on, so that this is a collaborative experience, mm-hmm. and not only a consuming experience.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. So if we could achieve that.
So I don't see our industry there, but I see it in my dreams there.
Yeah, it's one of the chances. And if we work on that, it will be.
Yeah.
So it's just, it depends on us.
Yes. So let's do it.
Our dear media apes, Sebastian Xuk and Nujin Kartal, had another interesting answer for my closer question.
They are all members of Eyes and Ears, I think, first of all.
That would be absolutely great. All over Europe, of course. All over Europe. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, why not?
Yes.
No, exactly. But I think, to be honest, I think we are in a process of a changed industry since like the last 10, 15 years. It was always like developing and complicated and changed. But now we are really like, because of the streaming platforms and so on, you are in that process all the time. So I think in the next 5 to 10 years, from the European feeling, I think we're going to make a big step in this immersive topic. Mm-hmm. Because also I think the audio industry also make pressure now on that topic in the TV, because you know the big labels and publisher, they release a lot in 3D audio, so you need to find ways to use this also for TV shows. Mm-hmm. There the problem going to be, how is it reproduced at home? So at the moment you have more and more soundbars able to be 3D audio players, so you know, and this going to change the way the producers think at the end. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a good chance for the next 5 to 10 years to build new markets and new ways of building not only their own brand, also building new markets for brands they pay for the commercial lines.
Mm. Nujin, can you add something?
Yeah, this is always a really difficult topic, I think, to predict the future is what we all would like to be able to. I think the media industry in the future will be even more digitally than it is right now, I think. Mm. Hopefully more sustainable, because there are a lot of more topics in these ways coming up. Mm-hmm. And the whole what I think will be interesting, if there are new players coming as well to the market, if we just look at broadcasting or about streaming and these topics, if there will be more variety, because there were some streaming platforms which are more into different ways, not for the mainstream sector, but with different approaches. And if we have more variety in all over media industry for the mainstream, and that in music, in picture, movies, but as well with everything. And that's what I really think for. And I think the media industry will go more and more immersive, like more and more immersive experiences. And I really talk about experiences where you have interactive stuff. Museums are more and more going into that.
Yeah.
Short installations. And so I think this will be really interesting, and we will still use, I think, the same formats like we do now, but we will maybe have more different ones. Mm-hmm. To have a bigger variety and all these things. So that's, I'm looking quite interested into the new future, and I hope that we can be part of building that future like we are right now, already audio-wise and with productions we made. So I'm looking forward to really be part of this movement as well.
And last but not least, David Bailey, Executive Creative Director at Magnetic. Where do you see the media industry in 5 to 10 years?
Oh gosh. I don't know the answer to that. I hope that there's a good media industry, that I hope there's a better society around that it's informing, that isn't so us against them.
Mm.
Because I think that's where we are today, with leaders like Trump and Putin and people and the left and the right, and this obvious division of what's right and wrong and cancel culture and all of those things.
Mm.
I'm hoping that there's a circularity to everything, isn't there? Everything comes around again in another way eventually. So I'm hoping that things improve, and I'm hoping that the media industry survives and adapts to that world, continues to do the right thing by informing people and creating great content that enriches our lives. I hope it doesn't just get cannibalized by the huge tech companies from Silicon Valley.
Mm.
Inevitably, they will own a lot of this stuff. So I don't know where it will be. I'm not really a big future gazer. There was one quote that somebody said, and I can't remember who it was, and I said that I didn't like people just quoting other people, but this is a good quote. And it was the most relevant quote I've ever heard of. The only real quote about the future that you can hang your hat on and say, that's actually right. They said, the only thing that we know about the future is that it will be different.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
That's the only thing that you can say with any certainty, it'll be different.
Yeah.
And so that's the only way I can answer that question. Because I don't know. Okay. I could say the things I hope for, or I could say a bunch of predictions that would probably be ill-informed. So all I can say is it will just be different. That's one thing that it will be.
Thanks to all our amazing guests. It was a real pleasure to have you all in the first season of A Drink with European Media Creatives. And thanks to you, our dear listeners. Keep your eyes and ears on us here and see you soon again. Stay healthy and safe. Bye-bye. A Drink with European Media Creatives is produced by us, the team of Eyes and Ears of Europe, and hosted by me, Corinna Kamphausen. We strive to connect all those who deal with the strategic planning, creation, implementation, and management of audiovisual communication in television, film, radio, internet, mobile, games, and events. This episode, as well as the entire season, were edited by Alexandra Runden and Marion Bauer. And we thank Anselm Kreuzer for the music.